and welcome to the Mental Breakdown Morning Show. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
And I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And it's a wonderful Tuesday. Oh, I almost said wonderful Wednesday, but it's actually Tuesday.
Wishful thinking.
That's right.
Wonderful Tuesday. Terrific Tuesday.
Yesterday seemed like a very long day, but it wasn't long enough for 2 days.
Right.
So it's still just Tuesday today.
Still Tuesday.
Right. So did you do all right last night?
I did. Did very well last night,
did
actually.
You?
I did.
Mm-hmm. You kept to
hungry
your plan.
This morning, but I did real well last night.
That happens.
Right.
I went out to go for a run last night when I got home. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. I want to do a few, you know, I was going to try to do 3 miles. And I got everything set, went outside, and I looked around, and there was dark clouds all around. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do my best. And so I ran until it started rain. I ran one direction until it started raining on me. Then I turned around and ran back and was able to beat the rain home. So I was able to get 2 miles in.
Okay.
So
that was all right. 2 miles is good.
2 miles is better than no miles.
That's right.
So we both stuck with it last night.
Did okay last
night.
Not bad. Yep.
Not bad. So today's Tuesday, and on Tuesdays, we talk about mental health issues in the news, whether it's in the newspaper, in the news media in some way. We're going to talk about mental health things in the news. And today's topic we're going to talk about today, goes along with what we actually did last Tuesday.
Right.
And if you remember last Tuesday, we talked about the psychology of pain, and we talked about how there's researchers looking at how cognitive behavioral techniques can help relieve back pain, which was really fascinating.
Which was a little bit surprising even to us. You know, we know there are these connections, but that was a pretty pretty significant breakthrough.
Yeah,
using these kind of therapies for what we typically think of as physiologic manifestations.
Yeah. So this week's article that we're going to talk about is sort of similarly concerning. This one makes a little bit more. I think that we could have gotten there just as easily if we, you know, just thinking about things and everything. Right. But there was a study done. This one was also done in the UK.
Is that in England, right?
But there's an article published in the Evening Standard from today that says. So today is the 20th, September 20th. Mm-hmm. From today that says that anxious men are twice as likely to die from cancer.
Right.
And that's pretty concerning, because of course we talk about all kinds of carcinogens and teratogens and everything that can potentially lead to cancer and cause cancer, different types of
environmental
cancer.
Environmental toxins.
Right. And in this study, they found that, of course, especially those with severe anxiety are at a significantly increased risk for dying from cancer.
Right.
And this is from a 15-year survey study that they did. And interestingly, they found that this is a case for men, but not for women.
That's what was interesting about this study, is that the results applied. Now, they applied amendment not to women, but were women included in the study?
Yes.
Okay, so they studied men and women, but only found...
Right.
The only finding was in men.
Right. Now, that's not...
That's what's unusual about this.
But what's interesting, so I saw that, and the article in the Evening Standard doesn't give the original source of the data.
Right,
so I don't know which journal that was in. So when I went in to look for it, I found some other articles that... You know,
related.
Looked at similar things that looked at the relationship between anxiety and different kinds of stress, and interestingly, a lot of the researchers that have found no relationship between anxiety and cancer were studying women. So it was a study of ovarian cancer risk for women with anxiety, and they found no relationship.
There was no relationship in women.
Right. Wow. And so this one found the relationship in men. So it's very interesting.
It makes you think that women have some immunological factor of something that protects them against
the
ill effects of stress.
I'm going to continue to look for, like I said, I came across a study this morning, and so I've been trying to research it and find out what they posit as potential reasons for these differences.
Yeah, we need to find the original study.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's interesting because, again, it's in men, and the other part that's really interesting is that it omits any influences from alcohol, smoking, or anything else
that
we oftentimes associate with anxiety. We often associate alcohol consumption, smoking, and things like that with anxiety. as well as cancer. And so we might intuitively try to go in that direction that, okay, well, maybe these anxious guys are drinking more, they're smoking more, and those kinds of things. And that's what's
increasing. But that was controlled.
And that was controlled for. Okay. And so that did not seem to be a mediating factor in the study.
Now, how did they define anxiety in this one?
They seem to be talking primarily about generalized anxiety disorder.
So a real kind of pathological,
right?
I mean, a real
right.
diagnosis,
right?
And not just a
stress.
Little stress,
right? Right.
This was a diagnosis of anxiety,
right?
But again, it means increased stress,
right?
Okay,
absolutely. Right. So it's very interesting, and it's very relevant because the prevalency rates of anxiety. Is pretty high. Yeah. When we were going through those numbers this morning, I think we were both mm-hmm. a little surprised.
Yep.
I'll post the link to the Evening Standard article in the show notes, but I'll also put the link to the NIMH prevalency page.
Right.
So there's a page from the National Institutes of Mental Health that has the prevalency rates for all these different conditions.
All the mental illnesses, right.
And for generalized anxiety disorder in adults, about 6% of adults will meet criteria at some point in their life for a generalized anxiety disorder.
And how many, just to give you some comparison, how many meet it for ADHD?
ADHD for adults is about 8%.
Right, so it's almost the same.
Right.
I mean, you read a lot about ADHD in adults.
Right.
8%. Here's anxiety, mm-hmm. a little over 6%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're rough. I mean, they're not comparable. They're not the same, but they're in the same ballpark.
Well, and I think that another one that to me is really important, and not we're going to sort of be careful not to say, well, that this disorder is more serious than this disorder or anything like that. But we attend a lot to things like autism spectrum disorders, and we have a lot of focus on that, and it's mm-hmm. it's great that we have that movement and that we're doing the research in that area, but that's less than 1.5% of the population.
Right. And that puts it in perspective.
Right.
So with autism, we're talking about less than 1%.
Yeah, it's about 1.47%
about
what it comes out to.
Percent and a half. But that's what we're talking about, that when you compare 1.5% to 6%, that's a pretty big difference.
Right. And even when we talk about children, again, the prevalency of autism spectrum, like I said, is about 1.5% or so. But when you look at anxiety disorders in children, across the different types of anxiety disorders, the prevalency rate ranges anywhere from 1% for generalized anxiety disorder all the way up to 15% for a specific phobia.
That's right. And most of it, because most of us have phobias.
Right.
We're afraid of spiders,
right.
But we don't have generalized anxiety disorder.
Right.
We're afraid of snakes, but we're not afraid to go out and mingle in a mall.
But about 5.5% of kids and adolescents suffer from social anxiety,
right. which is
a pretty serious...
Right.
Because mm-hmm. where are they expected to go every day? A social setting.
A highly social environment.
Right.
And a highly critical social environment.
Right. So when we think about stress, I think that certainly the relationship here has to be the stress response. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anxiety mm-hmm. disorder is a category, is a pathology that we think about. Mm-hmm. But really what we're talking about is the stress response, right? The stress right. response is what causes or puts us at risk
right.
for various illnesses, and according to this study, including cancer, because mm-hmm. it decreases the efficacy of our immune system. It weakens our ability to fight off infections and to replicate our cells the way that they need to replicate, which of course is at right. least one of the theories that leads to why we have, why cancer exists. Anyways.
Right, right. It's absolutely impossible to underestimate the damage, the negative effects of stress
right.
on the human body. Now, we're saying stress. This is a study about anxiety, so
right.
that's extreme stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we're talking about the far end of that stress spectrum. But any amount of stress is damaging. In fact, we learned in studying soldiers, returning
right.
veterans from war zones, that stress actually causes a reduction in the size of certain brain structures.
Right.
And so it actually damages brain tissue.
Right.
Two things that are bad for brain cells are blood and stress.
Right.
Those are the two things that'll damage them the most. And so please don't underestimate the damage that stress does.
Mm-hmm.
We all sort of accept a certain amount of stress in this very fast-moving, competitive environment that we're living in today. But be very careful about
Right.
About accepting stress as a normal part of your life,
right.
Because you really shouldn't. And if you do have stress in your life, you have to figure out ways to reduce it or eliminate it. One of the ways to do that is through exercise, of
right.
course.
Right.
But to search for ways to eliminate it, because it is very, very damaging. We worry about environmental toxins,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But stress is as damaging as any of the environmental toxins.
And that's sort of an internal
It's an internal toxin, right?
Yeah.
It's an endogenous toxin that's very damaging to brain cells. So please be careful.
Right, right. And because, of course, we have to remember that the stress response is normal. We need the stress response. That's what right. allowed our species to survive. But we don't live in times when we're...
That's right.
Well, in most areas of the country, we don't live where we're at risk for being attacked by bears.
Right.
And
I see you see this most... It's most obvious in feral animals.
Right.
You know, like you see these TV programs about animals in Africa... Where the herd of zebras is running away, and suddenly the lion attacks and kills one of the zebras, and everybody stops. Okay,
right.
Then it's over.
Right.
So the stress response, as it exists in our species, in most mammals, is that it's not intended to be a long term response.
It's temporary. Right.
It's very fast. You either have escaped.
Mm-hmm.
Or you vanquished the enemy.
Right.
You've either escaped or you've won, and you survive. But that's all takes place in a minute or two.
Right.
Okay. It's not meant to go on for the day or days or weeks.
Right.
And that's what we're doing. We're subjecting our body to chronic low intensity stress, but it's still damaging.
Right. And there was the book, right? That why mm-hmm. don't zebras get
why
ulcers?
Why zebras don't get ulcers.
Right. And that's why, because mm-hmm. when they experience that stress response, it's momentary.
Right.
And once the lion gets what it wants, you can see in film, you can see other zebras are walking right around the lions, and there's absolutely no anxiety or stress.
Right? But there's no stress because the event is over.
Yeah.
The fear is gone.
Did you watch the new Jungle Book movie?
Not yet.
Okay, there's a scene in the Jungle Book movie that's so interesting because the animals are going to the watering hole.
Right.
And it's so funny because we think about, like we see film on National Geographic and Discovery and everything, where you know these predators and prey are all drinking from the same water hole, and it's like, how does that happen?
Right.
And in the movie, the animals, of course, are talking, and they are talking about how this is a neutral zone.
Right.
We're not allowed to do anything
right.
in the watering hole, and that's interesting because that's sort of what we see in nature, though. You know, we don't think that the animals are communicating with each other like that. But
no, but what the zebra, you know, the zebra is the prey,
mm-hmm.
the lion is the predator. What the zebra is seeing is the lion. There's no indication from the lion that the lion is ready to feed.
Right.
Okay. So as long as they don't see those signs, because when a lion feeds, the morphology of a kill is always the same.
Right.
So zebras have come to recognize this is predatory behavior. This is just getting a drink of water.
Right.
There's
right.
no fear here. But when he does this, you got to start running.
Yeah. Okay? That's
and the zebras know that. So.
Yeah.
But that's funny, is it? Yeah. Watering holes are neutral.
Yeah, watering holes are neutral.
Neutral zone.
No messing with each other there. So.
Right.
But all of this leads to sort of our suggestions for the day.
And yesterday. Remember positive psychology.
Yeah, that's
Make
right.
Make yourself feel better.
That's right. Okay? That's right.
So it all ties together.
It does. Mm-hmm. So the recommendations for today, we're going to work really hard to relieve stress today. And we do that, as you said, by exercising. So get out and exercise a little bit today. But also, breathe.
Because
breathing keeps us alive.
There's something
just in
else
case
about
you weren't sure
breathing.
Of that.
Breathing, deep breathing,
mm-hmm.
releases serotonin.
Right.
Deep breathing helps you to release serotonin, and serotonin is what helps you deal with
right.
these stress factors. So
right.
there's a physiologic response from deep breathing. So do that. Do the deep breathing.
And you you can feel it. I've got a little in my throat. You can feel it when you take a deep breath. So, you know, most of us, we take a deep breath and we're like, okay, that's pretty good. But if you take a breath almost as deep as you feel like you can go,
mm-hmm.
and then one more time,
right.
you can feel your lungs completely mm-hmm. get filled. And it's, when you do that, our body is an amazing machine, because as soon as you do that, those chemicals begin to get released that help calm the stress
mm-hmm.
and bring you down so that you're not as anxious. That it's a great strategy for athletes before you go out on the field, or before you get up to bat, or before you are about to be involved in a play. Taking a deep breath like that is a wonderful thing to happen. Before a test, for some people, I recommend doing it, taking your breath like that before every item on a test. Because if you have a lot of stress, doing that helps just sort of clean the palate a little bit and gets you ready again.
That's right.
But certainly throughout the day, if you just take a moment just to breathe and just take that deep breath, and you'll feel it when you really fill up your lungs.
And most of us who are sitting at a desk breathe too. We don't breathe deeply enough.
Right, we just breathe very shallow.
When you're sitting at a desk, you breathe shallow, and so you're not getting enough oxygen. You're getting too much carbon dioxide. That's why you get tired and groggy.
Right.
So we say exercise,
breathe,
and replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts.
Right.
We talked about yesterday.
Yeah, and if you can do those things today, you're going to see some of that stress begin to decrease.
And exercise can just be a walk around the parking lot.
We're not talking
about going to the gym, but just to go for a walk around the parking lot. Get your lungs working, get your body working again, get your blood flowing. Replace that poorly oxygenated blood with rich oxygenated blood. You're going to feel better.
And breathing like that while you're walking,
perfect.
It's great stuff.
Two for one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Give that a shot. Give it a try. Let us know what you think. Send us a message. Send us questions. Tomorrow is Letter from the Listener Day,
so we
have a great one for tomorrow. So we will talk to you then. Have a great day. Stay happy and healthy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.